If you're a wholesaler, flipper, or other type of transactional investor, this episode is for you. Learn the most valuable skill an investor in today's market can have and how to instantly gain access to a large network of motivated buyers and accelerate your investing career with international wholesaler Jefferson Ortiz. We'll hear from Jefferson after a brief intro about us. This is Building Passive Income and Wealth Through Real Estate, where we guide you through the relentless pursuit of financial independence. I'm your host, Justin Moy, managing partner at Perpetual Wealth Capital, a multifamily real estate investing firm that lets everyday people invest passively in income-producing apartment buildings. Hey, investors, welcome back to another episode of Building Passive Income and Wealth Through Real Estate. Today, I'm sitting down with Jefferson Ortiz. Now, Jefferson and his company, Ortiz Property Solutions, specialize in wholesale transactions across Canada and the United States. Finding early success in the business by generating over $200,000 in just a few months, he's now on a mission with his business partner, Jonathan, to help aspiring wholesalers break into this game. Jefferson, we're really excited to have you here, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having. I really appreciate your time. Very much looking forward to bringing massive value to your audience and just sharing my story.
I mean, I would love to jump right into wholesaling because a lot of our listeners do wholesale or they're transactional real estate investors of some kind. And they're kind of on a journey as a sneak peek where you're at, where now you're kind of transitioning into that wealth building, maybe a little bit more of that passive income, but you've been knocking it out of the park with wholesaling. Now, tell us a little bit about that. I know you have some experience in Canada and America. Tell us about that wholesaling journey and how it's been for you so far.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, just thanks so much. Very grateful to be on the show and kind of sharing my side of the story. So basically, how I got started was I was in a 9-to-5 insurance job. And, you know, I hadn't really had a lot of time to spend with a lot of my family. And it was a very like rat race type of job, right? I was just always working. And what I ended up happening is, like many people, I read Rich Dad Poor Dad. And once I read that book, it just completely changed the way my mind worked. And I understood the difference between employee, self-employed, business owner, investor. And I knew that I wanted to get in the right side of the quadrant. So what ended up happening is I started reading a lot about wholesaling, specifically in the US. That's where I seen a lot of people were having success and ended up getting a property under contract. But just before I get to that, I did invest a lot into courses in the States. I probably spent easily over $1,500 on courses, one after the other one. One taught me one thing, the other one will teach me the other thing. So that's what I would first start with. If anybody wanted to start, I would say just get educated, whether that means read a book, whether that means network with other investors, whether that means take a course, get a mentorship, like get some sort of education, because there is a lot to learn and there's a lot of different steps. However, what I always tell my students and what I always tell people is just take action. Like that's the number one thing that will get you there. Yeah. So basically I ended up paying for mentorship costing a little bit over $15,000, which I didn't have at the time, but I understood that if I wanted to make it or if I wanted to take that leap of faith, I had to do it. I had to invest in myself, invest in what I was capable of. Yeah. So pay for the mentorship, almost got a deal like a couple of weeks after getting the mentorship. But one of my things my mentor said is just keep putting offers, keep at it. Don't get discouraged. One thing that I wanted to mention is that when you do any sort of mentorship, you have automatically accountability, right? Not only does your mentor hold you accountable, but you hold yourself accountable because you've invested, you know, invested interest. So just right away, you just know that you can't just sit at home and watch Netflix because, you know, I just paid $15,000. Yeah. I better start working hard, right?
With all of those mentorship programs, like that's what also gives you the crowd, the people that you're with. Because if you go to a free RIA, those are great, but anybody can go there. Not many people are going to invest $15,000. And a little glimpse into my background. Yeah, I was Ubering on nights and weekends to afford my mentorship program to dive right in. And so anybody who was in that circle with you is going to be extraordinarily motivated and accountable, right? Like you said, I just paid a lot of money for this. It will work out. I'm going to make sure that it works out.
Absolutely. And that's definitely right on point. Like what ended up happening is within our mentorship, like within the group, the people that have invested, we actually move deals left and right, you know, because I have a deal, you have a buyer, let's connect, let's work together. And because everybody's already in the same mindset, like you said, in regards to they've invested in themselves, they have that kind of ability and they're willing to put in the work, then you just surround yourself with a different crowd. And like you said, those real estate events are great for networking, but when it comes to creating those kind of partnerships, it's better to do it with people that have invested. Yeah. So absolutely right on point with that.
So you kind of glossed over this, like it wasn't a huge accomplishment, but you said that, you know, a little bit after you joined the program, I don't know if you ended up getting that deal or if it totally went through, but you were getting traction quick because a lot of wholesalers, like that's the big stuck is getting to that first transaction. Was the group the way you found it or what else did you do? Because a big thing with beginning wholesalers is they're kind of building two funnels at once, right? Which is tough, a seller funnel and a funnel of buyers. So tell us about kind of getting that first one. Were you building those two funnels? Was it from networking? Were you sending out mailers? You know, tell us about the journey to get there.
Yeah, you might've been right. Like I might have glimpsed over that, but basically how it ended up happening from the very beginning, like I said, I was paying for mentorship, even courses in the States. I was cold calling. I would get like a list of 100 people and I would call in the States. I had no idea who I was talking to, anything, but I was just like, I'm willing to put in the work, like whatever it takes to get there. So I'd work my 9 to 5 and then from like 5 to 10, I would be calling like almost for a whole week, 2 weeks, whatever it took. So that was in the States. But when I got here, what I noticed is that you can't get a list of people in Canada. Like you just don't have that data. That data doesn't exist here. So basically what I noticed was that the only way to get in front of a lot of sellers is either door knocking, because you get right in front of them, or you send direct marketing, which is what we did. We sent a batch of letters to, I think it was like about, I want to say 7,000 properties. And from that, I got a lot of calls. Some of them wanted fair market value, which at that point I couldn't offer them. And then towards the end of that campaign, one of the calls that I got was somebody who was motivated. They wanted to sell because they were moving up north. It was a single family house in Hamilton. Actually, I already had the permits and I already had all the drawings to make it into a fourplex, which is kind of rare to find those with already the blueprint and everything ready to go. Yeah. So that's what ended up happening is I went to the house. I actually had a different mentality because I was used to other prices. So I offered them $350 and then they're like, no, we're actually selling it for $500. They actually were like offended a little bit that I offered such a low price. But I was comparing that to like the Niagara market and some of these other markets. And that's kind of where the numbers make sense. When they said 500, I was like, that's way too much money. But let me look into it. I talked to my one buyer and he was interested. He's like, yeah, man, this is a really good deal. Like, I like it. Why don't you connect me with the seller directly? And I will pay you an assignment fee outside of closing and outside of all that. And that was somebody that who I had a relationship with, who I already had talked with. I trusted him. So I was like, yeah, man, for sure. So I connected the two. They ended up closing the deal. And that's when I get paid my, I guess you could call it a bird dog or finder's fee, which that was how the first deal happened. So it wasn't a full wholesale deal, but it was more of just like a bird dog assignment finder's fee.
Oh, that's great. I mean, the terminology, who cares about that or how it happens? The fact is you got paid on finding undervalued real estate and providing a value of connecting two people together. So that's an enormous market in this industry. Is that pretty normal to be successful with those numbers? You said about 7,000 mailers you sent out to get about one transaction of some kind. Is that pretty normal or was that kind of rare?
It kind of really depends on the market that you do it at. And it almost depends. You almost have to do it at the right time, which is kind of the hit and miss. You might do a 20,000 campaign and you might not get any deals from it. Like you might not get any deals right there, but then you start building these little foundations. And then those people may not be ready to sell right now, but maybe in 3-4 months, you'll get a random call saying, hey, I got your letter, which you had sent like 5 months ago.
Yeah.
I'm ready to sell my house, right? And then you're like, oh, okay, sure. So it's almost like you got to just start building those plans. There's all different types of way to get deals. Me, I just went through the direct marketing because it just made sense in terms of reaching a lot of people really fast. And that's how some of the other people were being successful. I wouldn't say that for 7,000, you'd get one. But at the same time, it's just a numbers game. As you may know, it's just a numbers game.
Yeah. Even when I was brokering single family homes, and I was a realtor back in California, I would get calls from places that I'd stopped mailing 2 months ago. And then I would show up. And then when I'm at the listing appointment, they would open their drawer and out would fall like every mailer I've ever sent to them, to that community.
That's crazy.
They've been holding them for, you know, we send one a week and then once every other week, maybe 20 or 30 mailers would fall out of their drawer. And they say, yeah, I've been meaning to call you for months now. So really, wow. Yeah, about keeping going and staying the course there. So I know things are a little bit different in Canada, but I guess how else are you building that pipeline of buyers, right? Because a lot of wholesalers, it's kind of like the paralysis. I'm afraid to get a seller because what if I don't have the buyer and I fall flat on my face? Or I'm afraid to have buyers because, you know, what if I don't have the properties? So when it comes to building both of those pipelines, how can a beginner wholesaler make sure that they're successful with both of those, you know, having a buyer at the right time when they have a property? What are some best practices there?
What my personal opinion would be, in regards to that is that if you learn how to get a good deal, there's buyers everywhere. Like there is buyers literally left and right. However, like you said, it is very important to build that pipeline or build those solid buyers, because there's a lot of people that might be say they're buyers, but when it comes down to closing, they might not actually close. And that's one of the things that I'm very grateful that I joined the mentorship that I did, because by doing so, for example, if my mentor brings a buyer, I'm pretty confident they're going to close on it. Like I've never had any issues with them not closing on properties. So from those relationships that you build through your mentorship and through the people that you surround yourself with, you'll be able to see who the real buyers are. Also, another thing is, as you keep going, you'll start to have specific buyers that you work with and that you prefer to work with, because again, they will close on the property. So one thing that I would say is a little bit of both. Like with a mentorship comes the networking, comes the buyers. And I would say if you're a beginner, just literally talk to as much people as you can. Like whether that's people on Facebook, Instagram, like just talk to people that are interested and just have a lot of conversations, whether it's with buyers or sellers. And when it comes to sellers, just you got to get out of your comfort zone, right? And that's what it is, right? You got to take no's. You got to get denied. You got to get people denying you left and right. Like for me, I came from a sales background with insurance. So for me, hearing no's a regular. But for some people, they might hear no 5, 6, 7 times and they might want to give up. And that's the thing. It's like, no matter what happens, you got to just keep going. You know, you got to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about some of these deals. I mean, you talk about having buyers that are going to close. Are a lot of them going to be repeat buyers? So are they flippers? Are they kind of other people who are buying and holding the properties? Does it vary by what type of property you're looking at? Or what kind of makes a quote unquote qualified buyer in your opinion?
There's different buyers for different properties. That's what I would personally say. What I learned is that you got to know who this property is going to be for. So basically the way I have it is there's 4 different categories. You have your flippers. They're looking to buy and they're looking to sell. So you got to kind of understand where the margins are. There is your BRRRR type of investor. They want to buy, they want to renovate, they want to rent, they want to refinance, they want to repeat. So then there's specific margins for that. And then there's your buy and hold. What I find is those are your hardest buyers to find is your buy and hold, because most investors want to get in and they want to get out as soon as possible. Whereas your buy and hold, they're a little bit harder to come by. However, those are great buyers because the margins don't have to be as big for those type of buyers, right? They're fine paying maybe market value because they're holding it for the long term and they're holding it for the location. Whereas your flipper and your BRRRR, they need to get it at where the numbers make sense. One easy formula, if you're a beginner, would say ARV times 80% minus your renovation. So ARV, 400,000 per se, times 80%. I don't have a calculator in front of me, but whatever that is, mine is, let's say 20 or 30,000, whatever the renovations are. If you can get it at that price point, you are pretty solid. Like you can pretty be confident you can find a flipper or a BRRRR type of buyer. Yeah. And then there's your multifamily buyer that are buying a hold. So those would be where I would put the 3 categories, and every deal is different. So no deal is going to be the same. But if you understand those 3 categories, you'll know when you have a deal, is it a BRRRR? Is it a flip? Is it a buy and hold? And then that way, you know what buyers to send it to and which buyers like those kind of deals and so on.
What are some red flags that a potential wholesaler should look for in a deal? I mean, let's say a seller or an owner calls you from whatever mailer or door knock or something like that, and it's a deal that they're looking into. What are some things that they should be kind of on the alert for?
I think by asking the main question or the most important question, which is your why, I think you're able to see if it's actually going to be something worth pursuing. For instance, I'll give you an example. I've had some sellers that are like, oh, my neighbor sold for $900,000. I won $900,000. And there might be a deal there. There might not be. So you really got to ask the question is why they're looking to sell. But some red flags I would say is if they're not the actual owners of the house, try to talk to the actual owner of the house. You know, if they have somebody who's maybe making the decision for them. I wouldn't say it's like red flag, but I would say just keep an eye out if you're going to be making an offer, for example, to a couple, a husband and wife, make sure the wife is there so you can have them both in the room at the same time. That's something that I learned along the way is sometimes when you have the husband and you make the offer and you leave it overnight, by the next morning, like the wife has already come out of it, right? So if you can have them both in the same room at the same time, it's a lot better that way. So that's one thing. I would say from a wholesaler and just from an investor, I haven't really locked up any properties that have foundation issues, that have had any sort of cracks in the foundation or something like that. Those are some things I do look out for, and I try to stay away from those type of properties. I always look at it from the perspective of if I'm going to buy that property. So that has changed in the last couple of months because I have started buying properties. You almost look at it like from that perspective. Okay, I've done these rentals. I know this is how much these rentals are going to cost. I know I can sell it for this much. And once you understand that, you're walking into this property a lot different than your typical wholesaler who just wholesale, right? If you buy and you actually do the renovations and you see what the progress is like, it's just so much easier to do the business because you understand what you're looking for and what's a good deal, what's a bad deal, what the rentals are, and so on.
So tell us about that. So you've transitioned, not totally, you still wholesale. Before we started recording, we were even talking about, you know, multifamily, which is, you know, my realm. That's something that I get really excited to talk about.
Yes, sir.
That transition, you know, are you buying and holding multifamily now, and what's kind of making you, I hesitate to say the word switch because you're still kind of in your wholesaling and you actually teach a masterclass as well, which we're going to talk about too at the end here. But tell us about what made you switch over kind of to multifamily and what the goal is there.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically what happened is that when you're looking at the wealth section of things, you can create a lot of money through wholesaling and you can buy a lot of deals through wholesaling. But something that really attracted me is the apartment buildings, you know, like the 50 to 100 units. And the reason for that is just the amount of people that are going to be paying rent, the amount of income that's going to be coming in. Like what I learned as I got deeper into the apartment building space is that it really is a business. You're not looking at it from a perspective of comparables. You're not looking at it from a perspective of emotions. It really, it just comes out to the numbers. And if the property is a type of property that is the cash on cash 7-8% or something like that, if your cap rates are 8-10%, then you understand that you're getting a good deal and you understand what the returns are going to be for any investor that you bring on. And then from the wealth perspective, from the long-term part of it, right? Once you're able to either pay out your investors or once you're able to get that refinance after a couple of years and you're able to have 50% of ownership of that property for future refinances, as well as the cash flow, I mean, that's what changed it for me, right? I was like, I can work hard, but when I wholesale, I have to go look for the next deal. But I want to build the wealth, right? For the kids, that's my why. And kind of what I'm trying to build the wealth is for my kids and pass on that legacy to them. And I can teach them the wholesale business. I can teach them the flip business, but I can't pass it on the way I can pass on an apartment building, 50 units, 100 units, you know what I mean? Like I can pass that on to them and they can pass it on and so on. It's generations of wealth. So I think that's what really changed for me is wholesale is great. Flipping is great. You can make great, quick money. BRRRRs are great, of course, right? Because you get to keep the asset and it pays you every month. But the apartment building space is a lot more of a long-term in regards to you invest money. You're not going to see it right away. You're not going to see the full value back as a BRRRR, right? Like 2-3 month BRRRR, you get your money back. Bang, you're great. But for these ones, it's more the long-term, right? The 4 or 5 year, we refinance, get your capital back out. And all of a sudden, now any future refinances in the future cash flow is infinite return for you and for me, which is like, that's the ultimate thing. It's like infinite return on investment. You have no money involved. And yeah, you have a cash flowing asset that is paying you every time you refinance it, tax-free money.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, which is why I found myself in the multifamily space and glad you're over on this side because it definitely did have that long-term wealth that I see and that we were really pursuing as well. And a lot of different roles as well. You know, you can even be a passive investor or an active investor. Yep. You can find deals, fund deals, broker deals, whatever you want to do. So there's a ton of it. You have a masterclass on wholesaling for that wholesaler who's there, whether they're getting started, ramping up. Tell us about the course, what's included, and what type of people should be maybe interested in checking out more about it.
Absolutely. So basically what happened to me as the journey was going on, right, as the deals were happening and whatnot, I started getting a lot of people that were seeing my story, they were motivated, they were inspired, and they wanted to get like a mentorship. And at that time, and like right now, I can't offer the mentorship full on the way I would like to do it later down the line. So right now, what I did was like, how can I still provide value and how can I systemize this in a way where people can look at these videos, go back to them, rewatch them, and really have the foundation. Like at the end of the day, if you can have the foundation and you know what the contracts look like, you know what the next step is, then at that point, you can just take massive action and you can go back and look at the video. So what I did was we ended up creating a 7-course module. So it's 7 modules. And in these modules, it will teach you from marketing, from mindset, from a disposition side, acquisition side, buyer's package. Like literally what I did was I just looked back and I said, if I needed to start from scratch, what are the specific things that I would need That would be how to write an offer. It sounds simple, but not a lot of people know exactly how to write an offer and what is important to have in that offer. Again, no financial advice. I'm not no financial expert, but I did want to just say that because, you know, for disclaimer portion of it, right? But that's something that is included in there. How to do the marketing, right? Like how specifically do we set up our marketing? How to find buyers? How to create buyers? Like everything that you will need, because there is nothing like that in Canada. That's what I found. Everything that I was looking was in the US, but I had nothing like that in Canada. So I'm like, there is a space for me to create a course and create massive value for the person. And then what my goal is, and this is what I tell a lot of people that are interested in taking the course, my goal is to build a team that pretty much is a trained team that have been trained by me through the modules. And, you know, if they have any questions, I'm more than happy to answer them. Have a team that is out there hunting and looking for deals, and we can work together. The same way my mentor had taught me and the way we work is the same way that I want to build a team of people that know exactly what I do in my offers, and we can partner up and we can create massive amounts of wealth and essentially change their life. Because that's what it did for me, man. Like for me, wholesaling has definitely changed my life, because now I know that if I go out there in the field, I know what a good deal looks like. I know how to negotiate. I know how to put in a contract. I know what the due diligence period, like that's a big one, the due diligence, right? Now you got the property under contract. Now you got to go through the due diligence. Do you know what to look for? Do you know what's the next step, right? So that's all included in the course. I would say it's for anybody who wants to get their first wholesale deal faster. One is you can pay with your time or you can pay with your money. So that's the way I look at it, right? If you want to pay with your time, by all means, you can go and trial and error, or you can just pay with your money. And then you can speed up the process. And that's what I would say for anybody who wants something different, who wants to learn a skill, a high income skill. Because my goal for this year is $1 million in acquisitions and sales. So that's my goal. So I'm just trying to build a team around there that have the same inspiring mindset and have the same goals.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, that's fantastic. This episode's been so much value from the wholesalers. And a lot of people, of course, who listen to the show are transactional, but looking to get into maybe multifamily or something more long-term or passive. So I think connecting with you would be a fantastic way to just kind of solidify that position in life and take things to the level they want to take them. So what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been great. It's been great chatting. Honestly, like anytime I talk about real estate, specifically with people that are doing it, like the conversation can go on for hours and hours and I don't get tired of it. Like it just happens, right? You start talking about one thing, then another thing, and then another thing. You just keep that conversation going. People can reach out to me through Instagram. I also got TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, like any way possible. I usually am pretty active on social media, pretty active on Instagram and TikTok. So yeah, reach out to me through there, send me a DM, send me a Facebook message. But one thing I did want to just leave your viewers with is that what's so key about not only wholesaling, but just finding off-market deals in general, is that once you understand what a deal looks like, once you have it under contract, now all of a sudden you can actually bring it through the channel and you got the options. I'm at a point right now where if I bring a good deal, I know I can bring the money because you have the deal, you have the people, the money comes, right? Like you don't need to have the money figured out. The money's there. The money is there. Like, especially in Canada, when prices have gone up like crazy, people are sitting on appreciation. Some don't even know, right? So once you learn the skill, which is talking to motivated sellers and finding off-market deals, then you have a whole other world that opens up, not just from wholesaling, but just from an investor perspective.
That's fantastic. I mean, we're going to put the social media links in the show notes for listeners. So head down there, get in touch with Jefferson here. And also while you're there, if you haven't already, of course, make sure you download our free ebook, The Definitive Guide to Building Generational Wealth and Passive Cash Flow Through Multifamily Real Estate. Jefferson, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was a blast having you. And listeners, thanks so much for spending a couple minutes of your day with us.
Thank you, guys. And again, take massive action and never give up. Those are my two tips of advice.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.